Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Lifestyle for a Lifetime. I am your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and today we are broadcasting live from Texas. We're continuing our year-and-a-half-long series on prayer, and those of you who have been following, this month, we have focused on corporate prayer as well as praying for your family. And we're going to continue today is how to pray for your loved ones. Now, just to kind of to reiterate, where we were last time, let me just go ahead and repeat the scriptures in Nehemiah. If you have your Bibles, your cell phones, or any other app, please feel free to turn to Nehemiah, the best way that you can get there. And let's look at 4 and 6, and we will be here very shortly, just for a short period of time, because we are going to continue on with this great topic today, because we want to talk about the role of the warrior priest. But I'm going to read from the message, Nehemiah 4 and verse 6. We kept at it, repairing and rebuilding the wall. The whole wall was soon joined together, and halfway to its intended height, because the people had a heart for the work. Now, let's go down to 13. And it says, so I station armed guards at the most valuable places of the wall and assigned, catch this, people by families. Look at that. The families were a part of this with their swords, their lances, and bows. And after looking things over, I stood up and spoke to the nobles, officials, and everyone else. Don't be afraid of them. Put your mind on the master, great and awesome, and then fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your home. So here we see the importance of the family in just 30 seconds. I'll just kind of briefly go over this with you. But we see here that all of us, we have loved ones that may we are concerned about. We discussed that last week. Also how we have to pray in that spiritual authority. But in addition, there are certain principles in the scriptures which show us how to pray, and we discussed those and went in depth last week. But let's continue today with the role of the warrior priest, because there's no warfare without priesthood. Now let's look at Joshua 6 and we are going to look at Joshua 6, and we will go all the way to verse 6 and 16. And I believe by the end of this series, those of you who are believing for your loved ones to be saved, that things are going to be changed in their lives. Even as we prayed last week and showed you the different techniques, and we went through several scriptures on what the Bible says about us praying for our loved ones. So here we are, the 6th chapter, verse 6 through 16. In interest of time, and because there's so much scriptures, we will, I'll kind of just go over this to give you the highlights and the basic thought here. So Joshua, son of Nun, he was called the priest. He told them, take up the chest of the covenant. So there were 7 priests to carry 7 ram horn trumpets leading God's chest. Then he told the people, set out. So they marched around the city. Have the armed guard march before the chest of God. And it happened. Joshua, what did he do? He spoke out, and the people moved. 7 priests with their 7 ram horn trumpets set out before God. And they blew those trumpets, leading God's chest of the covenant. The armed guard marched ahead of the trumpet, blowing priests. The rear guard was marching after the chest, marching and blowing their trumpets. So this is the Ark of the Covenant. But Joshua had given orders to the people. He said, don't shout. In fact, he said, don't. He said, Dyson, don't even speak. Not so much as a whisper until you hear me say shout. And then he says, then shout away. He sent the chest of God on its way around the city, and it circled once, came back to the camp and stayed for a night. And Joshua was up early the next morning. The priest took the chest of God. The 7 priests carrying the 7 ram horns trumpets, they marched before the chest of God, marching, and they were blowing their trumpets with the armed guard marching before and the rear guard marching after, and marching and blowing of the trumpets. Now, on the second day, they again circled the city once and returned to the camp, and they did it the 6th day. Now, this is the final verses. When the 7th day came, they got up early, marched around the city, and this same way, but 7 times, yes, this day they circled the city 7 times, and on the 7th time around, the priest blew the trumpet, and Joshua signaled the people, shout, he told them, shout. God has given you the city and everything in it, under the holy curse and offered up to God, except for Rahab the harlot. She is to live, she and everyone in her house, with her, because she hid the agent we sent. So here, the role of the warrior priest. So even in the prayer and praying, you know, for what we're believing for in our lives, collectively as well as corporately, there is a role. Now let's look at this from one perspective. He sends the priests, the armed men, and they go around Jericho. But let's look at what Samuel does. Samuel intercedes as what? As priest for Israel before going to battle. Now let's take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel 10 and 18. So the point that we're making here is the priest. How there's no warfare without the priesthood. And our point is when you're praying for your family, and even as we came out of the previous teachings, the importance of corporate prayer, but including the men of God in what you're doing. 1 Samuel, and let us look at chapter 10, verse 8. Again, I'm using the Message Bible. Now go down to Gilgal, and I will follow. I'll come down and join you in worship, by sacrificing burnt offerings and peace offerings. Here, again, wait 7 days. Then I'll come and tell you what to do next. Now, here we see the priest that went before with Joshua. He sent the priest. And then there came an instruction. And these priests, again, they were, and the armed men, they went around Jericho. So you have the priests, you have the armed men, they went around Jericho. And here you see Samuel intercede as priest for Israel before going into battle. So this is a key element. Now I want you to stay in this book, but let's move over to 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, and I want to look at verse 8, and let's go down to verse number 12. He waited 7 days, and this time, sent by Samuel. Samuel failed to show up. We know this story very well. At Gilgal, and the soldiers were slipping away right and left. So Samuel took charge. So Saul took charge, rather. Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offering. And he went ahead and sacrificed the burnt offering. Did we ever get in that situation? Before waiting on the man of God, the man of the cloth? We might say, oh, well, the pastor hasn't showed up. Or I went to the pastor, and the pastor asked me, I asked the pastor a question, and he hasn't come back yet. So, oh, I'll just go ahead and do what I think is best. But he says, breathe. So Saul took charge. Remember the point here that we're emphasizing today is the role of the man of the cloth, the priest. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, those that are in leadership over us before we make that move. And he went ahead and sacrificed the burnt offering. And no sooner he done it, Samuel showed up and Saul greeted him. Now, that's why I teach. I believe in being on time. But there's something about a chronos time and a kairos time. That you can be so in a rush to be somewhere at the 8 o'clock straight up, and God wanted you to be there 5 till or 5 after. Now, that's a whole nother subject. But here the man of God, Samuel, was late, according to Saul and his regime. But no sooner he waited. So sometimes we can't go any further than our last instruction. We see that on the wall of Jericho. We see that with Samuel here. giving instructions to Saul, and if you don't wait, it can cost you something. If they were not obedient to what Joshua told them to do, and the priests went before them, and then an army went before them, that wall of Jericho might not have come down. It might have still been standing there. But look at what instruction and following instruction. When we have the role of the warrior, there's always the role of the priest. That's why sometimes, like Saul got himself in trouble by letting the people, well, he ain't here yet, or she ain't here yet. We're going to go ahead and do it anyway. Sometimes you can't listen to folks. They'll have you miss your blessing and miss your kingship. So no sooner he had done it, Samuel showed up. And Saul greeted him. I guess he was like, "Hi, Samuel. We were waiting for you, but everybody got so impatient they were leaving left and right." God is saying, stand. We're talking about victory and salvation for your loved one. There's that instruction here that God is wanting to give you. So Samuel said, "What on earth are you doing? What are you doing?" You ever said that to somebody? I remember a friend of mine said her husband almost missed the boat, and they were holding it up, and he was coming. She's like, "What are you doing? We almost missed the boat. It's taking off." You know, that time he was on time. He was missed the time. But somehow we need to wait on the time of the prophet. When we start doing things in our own way, in our own time, even the children of Israel, an 11-day journey took them 40 years to get there because they didn't want to obey the men while Moses was praying up in the mountain. They were so busy they wanted to build a golden calf. And Saul answered, "When I saw I was losing my army from under me and that you hadn't come when you said you would, and the Philistines were poised at Michmash, I said, 'The Philistines are about to come down on me in Gilgal, and I haven't yet come before God asking for his help.' So I took things into my own hands and sacrifice the burnt offering." See, when we don't wait on the man or the woman of the cloth, when we don't incorporate the warrior and the priest together in our decisions, you know, there was a man named Frank Sinatra, and I've seen over the years on many, many, many bulletins our obituaries on the back, "I did it my way." How many times through life, when we're standing in the gap for situations, circumstances, and especially our loved ones, we do it our way? But God has given us detailed instructions. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. You're listening to Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness. And we are continuing our series on prayer. If you have not listened to the past series, you can go on our website at lifeenrichmentinc.com. That's lifeenrichmentinc.com, and they're on the front page of our website. This is the fourth series that we are talking about on how to pray for your loved ones, and the previous series incorporated within this corporate prayer and what the Bible says about it. So back to our point today, And if you want to know the previous points to seeing your loved one saved, please listen to the last teaching. That was a fool thing to do. Samuel said to Saul, if you had kept the appointment that God commanded, by now God would have set a firm and lasting foundation under your kingly rule over Israel. As it is, your kingly rule is already falling to pieces. God is out looking for your replacement. Ooh, right now. Watch out. Watch out. We got to hear God's voice. We have a chance. Yes, God is a God of grace and mercy and goodness. But he told him, look, hey, where did that old saying come from? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Waiting before we make that move is better than losing the blessing. So we see here today two circumstances. The priest going before Joshua around Jericho. And it's Joshua gives the instructions. And now we see here Samuel intercedes as priest for Israel before going into battle. Now, we will be closing in just a few minutes. But I want to close with this. And next week, we will talk about our role as priests. The spiritual responsibility, the spiritual right, and the authority and boldness that God has given us. Don't you miss it. This could be a matter of life or breath. A matter of life or death. It could be a matter of you going in the wilderness for 40 days when it was an 11-day journey. Or it can be as serious as the wall of Jericho coming down in your life. Or it could be as serious as losing your queenship and the crown being taken from your head. So let's close with this. One of my favorite messages, I love hearing my daughter preach this on many of occasions. 2 Chronicles 20:20. But let's start in verse 18. Now remember, our focus here today is the next instruction, the next destination that God has called us to. There's always a priest involved. There's always an instruction. Don't be impatient. You're going to have to wait until God says move. Then Jehoshaphat knelt down, bowing with his face to the ground. All Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping God, the Levites. So here we have, with this Levitical, we have the Kohathites and the Korahites stood to their feet to praise God, the God of Israel. They praised at the top of their lungs. Now, they say us Pentecostals are pretty loud, but it looked like they did some praising back here, too, this Levitical tribe. And they were up early in the morning, ready to march into the wilderness to Tekoa. as they were leaving, Jehoshaphat said, now get this, listen, he said. And Judah and Jerusalem, he's saying, listen, Judah. Listen, Judah. Listen, Jerusalem. Listen to what I have to say. Believe firmly in God, and your lives will be firm. Believe in your prophets, and you'll come out on top. That's a whole nother message. Listen to the prophetic voices that have been spoken into your lives. As we've traveled the United States, but and particularly going back to see the fruit of Brazil, the prophetic word was expansion, and every place had expanded in the natural as well as in, I'm talking about walls knocked out, buildings, stages. God prophesied through us, paint the wall. We went back, didn't even recognize the place. The prophetic word is important. That's why we're going to Argentina. Listen. And you'll come out on top. One of the translators says, believe in your prophets and you're going to prosper. And after talking it over with the people, Jehoshaphat appointed a choir. What you going to do about that? As my dad would say, for God. Dress in holy robes. Wow, I can see them now. Priestly garments. And they were to march ahead of the troops singing. Singing, give thanks to God. His love never quits. Give thanks to God. His love never quits. Wow, I wonder what it sounded like. Can you imagine that? Just seeing that. And as soon as they started shouting and praising God, God set up ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And as they were attacking Judah, and they all ended up dead, the Ammonites and the Moabites mistakenly attacked those from Mount Seir and massacred them. Look, God is going to fight your battles. But look at the instruction. Jehoshaphat sent the Levites. Come on. Our priests are going before us. And not only that, he confused them. And they went to each other and all ended up killed. That's what the Message Bible says. They all died. So God is saying, in this case, as we close, the role of the warrior, there's always a priest. There's always a prophet. And even if we notice here, Samuel, he was the prophet, but come on, he was also the priest. So God is saying that we have to listen, and we're decreeing and declaring today that you will open up your spiritual ears right now in the name of Jesus. Spiritual ears come open now to hear what even some of you are stuck in situations in the desert because you didn't follow the instruction of your leader. God said his grace is sufficient for you today. Saul didn't follow the instruction, and God said, that's it. I'm looking for somebody else. I'm looking after a man. And he found David. But we're believing today that his grace and his mercy is working on our behalf, not just for ourselves. Remember, this series is on walking in the fullness and receiving the blessing that our loved ones have been saved. I'm Dr. Gwyneth. Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyle for a Lifetime. I am preaching to myself. I've been so happy. Even our prayer line on Tuesday mornings, we just even this changed. We started praying in the spirit more instead of in the during throughout our prayer, we're praying and stirring up the fire, because those were one of the keys. Pray here, the kingdom come. Pray in the spirit and pray in authority. And next week, we are going to talk about our role as priests, the spiritual responsibility, the spiritual right, the authority and boldness. The present God to man, the present man to God, and being a priest to our loved ones and our family. Don't you dare miss it. There's some nuggets in this. And again, we don't know how the Holy Spirit is going to lead. We just say, Holy Spirit, have your way. And thank you so much for tuning in. Have a blessed day. And remember to share this message with someone. God bless you for now. Amen.